are listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of mobility.
Dwarf gauge autoloader.
That's Italian. You can go pump or auto.
The 45 long slide with laser sighting.
These are brand new. We just got them in. That's a good gun. You just touch the trigger, the beam comes on, and you put the red dot where you want the bullet to go. You can't miss. Anything else?
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Hey, just what you see, pal.
Wrong.
I'm tired, sick and tired of love. I've had my fill of love from below and above. Tired of being admired, tired of love uninspired. Let's face it, I'm tired. I've been with thousands of men again and again. They promised the moon. They're always coming and going and coming. And always too soon. I feel I'm tired. Tired of playing the game. Ain't it a crying shame? I'm so tired. God damn it, I'm exhausted. Hello, cowboy. What's your name?
Tex, ma'am.
Tex, ma'am. Tell me, Tex, ma'am, are you in show business?
No.
Well, then why don't you get your friggin' feet off? Hello, handsome. Is that a 10-gallon hat, or are you just enjoying the show?
Would you describe, in your own words, what happened that night?
Check it, Blee. Bro was on. Didn't trip, but the folks was freaking, man. Hey, the pilots were laid to the bone, home. Some blood hammering out and jam, Jim. Shit, tighten that bad sucker side of the runway like a mother. Shit.
Mystery of Cloverfield, Steven. It's Neil Carter. Hey, everybody.
I knew it all along.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Nowhere in Mulberry.
Episode 108. How are you doing, sir? Everybody,
Neil
sir.
Neil Carter eating New York.
Poor Neil Carter.
Neil Carter is a lion.
Wrong to speak ill of the dead. I love Neil Carter. That was a great show.
Give me a break.
I love whenever malicious black women take over a white family. Just
yeah, she took care of them. She took care of them. Hey, Steven, the pop culture zone.
Hey,
how are you doing,
hey,
Steven?
Hey, just fine.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, good.
Had
tired.
A good week?
Yeah, long day.
You came back to Texas, and all of a sudden it's cold here. We've gotten a bit of the as they always say on the weather, like winter storm or no,
is that what it was?
Arctic blast. I think
white death.
They love calling it the Arctic blast.
I didn't get to watch any of the weather out there to see what it was going to be like when I came home.
But it was nice out there, wasn't it? Where were you, San Jose?
San Jose. It was pretty decent. Not too bad.
That's a beautiful,
very temperate.
It's a beautiful area, though, isn't it?
When you go out towards the like Fresno and all that, you get a little nicer. Yeah. I mean, San Jose's not too bad.
Yeah,
not too bad little town.
I would trade it.
Did you give Dionne Warwick the directions?
Yes. Yeah, I told her how to get there.
Excellent.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Terrific.
And I got to say that Vanessa won't be here. She's doesn't have internet yet. She just moved, so we'll have her back next week. So, Bill, you know what that means? That you'll be doing the news. So we have a lot of exciting things to talk about. Cloverfield finally came out. Everyone is going to see it. We probably won't see it till tomorrow, Steven.
That's okay.
So much for doing a show where we talk about movies. Like, we haven't seen it yet.
We'll see it.
We're no Hollywood Saloon.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next
week. We don't get to go see the movie passes early and all that. No. You know?
Yeah, it'd be nice to get something. You only get movie passes to movies you don't really want to see. You're like, nah, Sidney White or...
You know, that's the only way they're getting anybody in there to give tickets away.
I got two passes to Mad Money with Queen Latifah and Katie Holmes and Diane Keaton.
Sweet.
You know, that was...
Why didn't you tell me? I would have flew down just to see that.
That was smart of them to get those three women. That's three separate audiences they attract.
Yeah, that's like a wide cross-section of the infinite.
Yeah, that's...
I saw the trailer for that today.
Wow. That's all I have to say about that. Wow.
I mean, who came up with that idea? We work at some sort of money place. Let's steal the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Whatever happened. I mean, that's like the woman version of the Wayne's Mo Money.
Yeah. Or Money Train. I'd like to see a remake of Money Train with women. Queen Latifah.
How about Money Runaway Train?
That would work.
That'd be a good movie.
Did you guys see the Golden Globes were this week? And you can't really call it the Golden Globes. It was more like Access Hollywood, where they tell you who won. I mean, seriously, let me just play a clip of this. This is actual the Golden Globes this week. This is pretty much a medley of it. They could have not even aired it on TV, just had a Golden Globes podcast.
Yeah, I was just on the airplane.
The
riding,
Golden Globes
so
podcast. Let's just check this
I
out.
I missed it.
And the winner is... Glenn Close for Damages. Glenn won a Globe in 2005 for The Lion in Winter. Javier Bardem for No Country for Old Men. This is Javier's first ever Golden Globe.
Extras. This is the show's first win in its first ever Globe nomination. But no surprise here, Ricky Gervais is an original of comedy.
David Duchovny for Californication. This was his fifth ever Globe nomination.
Tina Fey for 30 Rock. This is Tina's first win in her first ever Globe nomination.
Johnny Depp for Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. This is Johnny's first Globe win.
Somebody needs to keep that door closed.
Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. The film is based on the 1979 Tony Award-winning Broadway musical.
Daniel Day.
They're blowing him out the airlock.
Daniel went into semi-retirement back in 1997.
And the winner
he's
for semi-retarded?
Best Motion
Picture Drama is Atonement. Atonement received 7 Globe nominations this year, the most for any film.
Yeah. So that was the Golden Globes podcast. If you wanted to,
I was waiting
that.
For him to do a story on Britney Spears at a gas station.
Yeah, they still have the little techno music backing up everything, but that was how pathetic the Golden Globes were. But we got word this week that there will be an Academy Awards this year. So,
But we don't know what it's going to be like.
So we can figure out. Well, they're going to have a ceremony, and the actors are allowed to participate. So that's what's good.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be Billy Bush sitting in a friggin' closet reading off the winners like in that
one. What about all the excellent writing? Is Bruce Vilanch going to be involved?
God, I hope so. It would be a crime if he wasn't, wouldn't it? Wow.
It wouldn't be an Oscars show without writing by Bruce Vilanch.
I'm sure he's got some time since the Hollywood Squares is no longer around, right?
It's probably at some gay bathhouse in San Francisco.
Yeah, is the Hollywood Square still around? I don't think it is.
No.
They canceled it.
Yeah.
Bergeron is now on Dancing with the Stars. He doesn't need that Hollywood Squares crap.
All right. Oh. Hey, we got a voicemail, which we haven't received one in a while, have we? I don't know how to do this.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Foggy, how do you play voicemails? Maybe? Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry people. This is Rick from Fort Worth. Not the squirrel on the forums and in the chat.
Hey, Rick.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I got a chance to get a to see a sneak screening of Cloverfield. And the movie was really good. I really enjoyed it. I can't even begin to describe the monster because it looks like absolutely nothing you've seen before. And, yeah, otherwise, the movie was really good. Also, I dropped the line to Jason. Might as well let you guys know and actually go public with it here. My podcast, Amazing Comic Cast, is doing two appearances, live appearances. One of them is going to be a more low-key affair on the 16th of February. We're doing a swap meet comic book and like collectible swap meet in Grand Prairie. And if you guys want to show up and just make an appearance on my show, you're more than welcome to. Also, we're doing a live MST3K type thing on March 9th at Alcon in Dallas. If you want to check out the further details, just email me or check out alcon.org. And
so people
we're
just
doing
to plug the shows.
A live MST3K of Roadhouse, and we'd love to have you guys there if you guys are able to. And otherwise, that's pretty much it. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
Here's my question, Rick. That sounds really cool, but if I was going to do something like that, I would really, like I was telling Bill, that I would want to study the film.
Script it pretty well. Yeah.
Scripted. I'd
be so anal if somebody was like, hey, can I join? I'd be like, no.
Yeah. I mean,
thanks, but no.
We'd rehearse the thing like a friggin' play, you know, if I was going to perform it in front of people. It wouldn't be like, hey, let's do this spontaneously.
It would not come off well.
With, like, the show, I mean, it's all about preparation. I couldn't go in there like...
Well, I say it may not come off well. It may come off fantastic. You never know.
They may be good at improv or where I can, you know, maybe say a couple of things, but... I would feel like if I was going to do something in front of people, I'd want to give them something that wasn't just like a couple of guys sitting there.
For a full hour and 20 plus minutes.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
that's what Rick's going to do, but that's what I picture in my head.
You don't have to talk. There is plenty of boobage during Roadhouse.
Yeah,
you know,
that
kind of takes up a lot of time.
Too. I mean, there's foul language and some nudity. You even get to see some Patrick Swayze nudity as the film gets screened in front of.
And there's a polar bear.
Is it just going to be like in a room where it's cut off from everybody else? Say, hey, if you guys can come, I don't know. But that definitely sounds like something that I would check out. So even if you were in town that week.
Well, if that's a weekend, if that's a Saturday or something, yeah, that's cool. We can check it out.
Yeah, let's
we can go up there and
let's think about it at least.
Go buy a copy of Roadhouse and we got to study it.
Yeah.
Study it.
Go buy a copy? Shit, man. I want like three copies.
I was about to say.
One is still in its plastic. The other one is for viewing. The other one is framed on the wall. So,
I think I actually have three copies of Roadhouse.
You got one for the time capsule.
See, you know, people at Roadhouse, that's been done. I'm sorry. I'd rather do Roadhouse 2 with Jonathan Scheck. Now, that hasn't been done, Bill, so we'd do that.
No, and that's bad.
I bet it is.
Whereas Roadhouse is like a guilty pleasure, Roadhouse 2 is just bad.
You know what I heard about, like, the latest Uwe Boll film, In the Name of the King, that people said it's not even laugh at it bad, it's boring bad, and that's worse.
Oh, that sucks.
It's where it's so
you would think
bad
that Ray Liotta in full, like, medieval wizard leather-decked-out man mode would... make it somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not where you can laugh at it, and you're just like, God, I want to take a nap. That you failed. Oh, I'm going to lay down, guys. This movie sucks. But if it's like, hey, this is fun to make fun of, yeah.
You pay $8 to get into air conditioning. It came out at the wrong time. It should have came out in the summer.
Yeah. God, it's so hot outside. I guess we'll stay.
My house is hot.
How long is this movie? Is it boring? Okay, that's the one we're going to go to.
If you just make a bad movie like that, like 70 minutes.
It's funny, you walk in, and you're like, come in there at the end of the movie, and everybody's like, theater full of people snoring.
So what do you say, guys? Let's go ahead and check out some entertainment. Let's do it.
green berets for breakfast.
And right now I'm very hungry.
I love that, the bass and that punch.
You know that line, that "and right now I'm very hungry" is ADR'd. It's not even, his lips aren't even moving during it.
Arnold, could you do that take again, but this time say "and this time I'm very hungry"? Sure, and he's got his headphones on, he's projecting.
Well, you know, he was probably in the ADR booth going, you know, I think this line needs a little something.
I'm punching it up, you watch. It's very disrespectful.
Yeah. I don't just eat green berets unless I'm very hungry. Why let's add that I'm very hungry.
Why does Arnold sound like Dracula?
Well, he is from
Transylvania. Now, okay, Bill, will you go see Cloverfield in the theater this weekend?
I don't know about this weekend.
Because,
but
you know, here's how I am. If I don't see it this weekend, I'm not going to see it till it's on DVD. That's just, I'm neurotic. Hey, I want to see it on opening weekend. Otherwise, I'm not interested. Something else comes along next week, you know. And I just,
if a really good bootleg hits before I go to see it in the theater, I'll probably just wait.
Right. But I want to see it in the theater. Back row. Here's a thing that I've heard, and it's got like
theater popcorn.
It's got like a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, Bill, which is pretty good.
That's good.
I've read that it's entertaining and all that. I figured it is, you know.
Nub the Squirrel said it was good.
But I've heard from some people, it's like the shaky cam. It makes me kind of sick, and like my tummy hurts. And
that's the 25% or 20-some-odd percent.
Yeah, because I heard the same thing.
78, right?
Your poor baby, your stomach hurts.
Guys, I got to wait. I mean, my tummy hurts, my little tummy. It's like, okay, well, you go out there, even though you're a grown man and acting like a total pussy, go ahead and wait out. Go play some. Go play the bad coin op they have in the lobby. You want to do that? Yeah, I'll go do that.
Yeah, go drive Need for Speed out there.
We'll just wait in here and see the movie we paid money for. But if you want to go get sick in the lobby, go ahead.
There's an arcade cabin of Operation Wolf in the lobby. Why don't you check that out?
Operation Wolf. I love that game. Of course, it was one of those games I couldn't get past the first level.
No, because you had to pump a million quarters into it.
But that's the same thing I read all the time. Yeah, Bourne Ultimatum's good, but man, that shaky cam sure does make me nauseous. You know what? Okay, just shut up, all right, you little wimp.
Oh, close your eyes.
Hold the camera still. I can't watch this movie. No, you can watch it. Just stop complaining about the shaky cam. I'm getting sick of shaky cam complaints, all right? I can understand sometimes.
Why don't they buy that Sony with this cam steadier?
You can buy handy cams that have a special button you click and it keeps it from being shaky. Doesn't
exactly. You could go to the theater with a camcorder and watch it through the camcorder.
Well, you need
and
to
say you're
this.
Not recording it for bootleg. You're just your tummy hurts if you don't.
Hey, Paul Greengrass, you see this button on the side? Just click that, and you don't get the shit.
Oh, what?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. The boss.
I had no idea. I was here. I was making a directorial choice.
Yeah, the camera's shaking. I mean, what are you going to do? But I'm just saying that. I'm getting sick of the. I can understand people are like, I'm sick of shaky cam in movies. I'm sick of it. I can't handle.
You know what
shaky.
I'm sick of? Shaky cam in Michael Bay movies. Eh, there you go.
There's a different kind of shaky cam. I love Paul Greengrass's camera work in
very kinetic and sharp and just.
I love the quick zoom ins on the locations. It's very kinetic and it's hyper. It's like the movie keeps going on a great pace or whatever. I can understand. Like I've heard. Like I was listening to Radio Dan's show and he went to see Cloverfield. And it was a screening, an early screening, which I would have liked to have gone to, but the theater is packed.
We don't get invited for this.
He had to sit on the front row. At that point, I probably would have said, guys, I'm skipping this. There's no way I'm sitting on the front row. I can't even watch a normal movie where the camera's not shaking on the front row.
Well, you spend your entire time trying to lean your head back so far that you can see the entire screen, and your neck starts hurting, your head starts hurting. It's just not fun. Front row is what you did when you were 13 years old and thought it was cool.
We sit in the back row every single film. And the main reason why is because no one can sit behind you and talk. You know?
But you don't have somebody kicking the back of your chair.
And you can see the entire screen, including the exit signs that are always ablaze.
Right. And you know when you have to leave if you do get nauseous because of shaky cam. I'm going up that exit sign over there.
Okay, I need to plot my exit.
You know what's funny, though, is I actually, forget shaky cam, I went to the movies to see that Loch Ness movie The
water horse.
We took our daughter to see the water horse, and the sound was so, like, ear-bleeding loud. I kept turning to my wife going, is this not bothering you? And she was like, what? And I was like, the sound is too friggin' loud. Whenever that thing roars or something, I thought my head was going to explode.
Like the treble was too high and the bass was too low?
Right. It was too bright. And there's a part where it's swimming in Loch Ness and the army thinks it's a German U-boat, so they're bombing it. And I was like holding my head. Aah! You know, it was just... I couldn't take it. I felt like the Hunchback
scene,
of
though.
Notre Dame where the bells are ringing. You know, that's what it felt like. But, and I'm a person who likes loud sound in theater, but it has to be at the right level. You don't want to cause what they call noise fatigue on your brain.
Exactly.
Where all of a sudden you get into a panic attack, your brain thinks it's being assaulted.
I'm glad it wasn't that loud when I saw Water Horse.
Did you see the Water Horse? Mm-hmm. It was a quite lovely film, wasn't it, Steven?
Yes.
Steven went by himself because he loves him some water horses.
And you know what? No shaky cam!
Actually,
it had absolutely nothing to do with that he was trolling for children.
It's actually,
I saw it with an ex-girlfriend out in
Nevada. Uh-huh, yeah, I hear that.
But
Jason can vouch for me.
But it's not for... I would say it's not for little children, wouldn't you? There's a part where the water horse, the Loch Ness Monster, he's not that yet, but he when he's attacked, he turns kind of...
bad.
He turns mean, like he doesn't like people anymore. And that part's scary. And at one point, my daughter said... I don't want to watch this anymore. It's like, dude, they turned this lovable creature into a mean beast that wants to kill people now.
It's so cute and cuddly, and then the bulldog's chasing it, and now it wants to eat the bulldog.
Yeah, and I got to say that bulldog, they don't show it on screen, but all of a sudden it's not there anymore. Did you notice that?
See, I thought
it ate it.
You know, I thought it would have been funnier because he was chasing it if he would have, you know, if it would have just chased him.
Maybe that spit been, him out. If you just do the cartoon thing, the dog going...
Yeah, just running scared, yeah. That would have been hilarious.
Instead, they leave it open to what happened to the dog. I think we do. But, guys, we have plenty more to talk about.
The water horse?
What are we talking about? The water horse for? Crying.
Wow.
The reason we were is because that's what the creature in the Cloverfield is. It's actually the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, it's a water horse.
The water horse, yeah.
It ate one too many bulldogs.
And then it came to New York for more.
It became irradiated and grew legs.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. Guys, I know I shouldn't be watching this TMZ crap because it's the worst show on television, but I really watch
it. It's a guilty pleasure again.
It is horrible.
You hate to
and
watch
they think
it.
They're hilarious.
I watch for the background.
But
music.
You watch it for the terribleness.
Yeah. Like, for instance, this one where Brittany flips out and she's speaking in an English accent.
And to make matters worse. Brittany's behavior over the weekend does not seem to indicate her mental health has been restored.
Turn around and get legs.
After shopping at Macy's, spirits blew up at Botox.
Get out of my face!
Using the British accent the entire time.
She thinks she's Madonna using a fake British accent.
Wow. You know that is a sign of multiple personality syndrome.
Turn around and get legs.
That's awful. That's not even close.
She's
still faking
herself,
it.
You know? But here, they didn't leave her alone. Also, they had to do another story this week where she might be pregnant.
A direct question about those home pregnancy kits Britt was perusing the other day, and here's a direct answer.
I never had a pregnancy test. It was for my friend.
Uh-huh, that friend. Could it possibly be one of her 42 personalities?
Samuel, where are you?
Or maybe Adnan Ghalib, Britt's paparazzo escort, who may have staged the entire incident.
Hey, why is
so
the guy loud talking?
Could cash in on the pictures.
He loves Donald Trump.
It's like, I'm going to stand 3 feet from the mic and yell the story. So, anyway, that's horrible. But Amazing Race, do you guys ever watch this show?
No.
A long time ago.
It's amazing.
Is it still on?
Yes, it is. The best part about it is when the racies, the people,
the racers,
the contestants, who are their teams usually, they don't get along. Let's check this out, because this is pretty much probably the way it would be if I was on the show.
Honestly, I can't deal with this. You need to stop. step up and make the decisions, because I can't.
I need to step up and make the decisions.
Not step
I need
up.
To step up and make the decisions.
I'm
that what you're saying? I only
I'm
get
not
decisions.
Saying step up. I'm just saying you need to make the decisions right now. Please. You're the man.
Honestly, Jen.
You're the man.
What all you do is freak out.
I'm not freaking out.
You're a
trick. Help me.
Please help you. You're the God's in this mess. You're the one who said subway, subway, subway.
You can't believe me. What? I didn't
you're
do
such
anything.
A poor teammate.
Thanks a lot for ruining my frickin' birthday. I ask you just please don't fight with me.
I'm sorry to tell you, you have both been eliminated from the race.
Wow, that sucks.
Sucks big time. I think that we killed our relationship on the way. We weren't strong enough to heal it and finish the race. We just freaking killed ourselves during it, Nate.
I know, Jen.
And we didn't even focus on our relationship.
I know, Jen. He's still being sarcastic. And you humiliated
Can you just
yourself.
Shut up? We lost.
Yeah, we lost. Just leave me alone. The camera's over there. They're filming this.
We couldn't even heal our relationship before the end of the race.
Hey, we'll compete on the show.
Who talks like that?
We're going to compete on the show, but also let's try to heal our relationship because we fight all the time. Sounds like
she
a
good
idea.
She wants to get on The View, obviously.
Now, do you guys remember last week on that The Biggest Loser where the fat lady fell down and they talked about what a great person she was, yeah. How resilient she was? Well, I'm watching American Gladiators and a guy gets hurt and they're doing the same thing. You're an incredible human being. Let's check it out. What else are you going to do when you hurt yourself? You're going to get up, aren't you?
You're a tough guy, brother.
I'm serious.
You're a warrior, man. You're a warrior. Strong job. Strong. You'll be all right.
Hey, man. I want to tell you, if I don't get to come back, the reason I got the lifting weights, man.
Oh, man.
Keeping an idol in my
Somebody cut out
me.
His tongue.
Honor to me. Thank you.
And hey, everybody.
That's I'm a warrior. Let me hear that. That's a warrior.
He's a warrior. Hear his name. Yeah.
He's a gladiator. The scandal song.
He's
a warrior.
All you gotta do on TV is hurt yourself, and you're a hero. And you're resilient. You're a warrior.
Absolutely.
Can you guys believe American Idol's freaking back again?
I can't watch it.
It's beautiful.
I just cannot watch it.
I just love the tryouts. That's all I can watch. I can't watch
those are annoying for me now because you know what?
Well,
those people are so fake.
Well, there's people who want to be bad just to get on the show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, what? For instance, this guy who decides to serenade Paula. Let's check it out.
Love song that I wrote for Paula Abdul.
Wow.
Oh my God, serenade.
Have you ever had really...
There is this girl I know, I follow her around. She hasn't noticed me, it really gets me down. I broke into her house when she wasn't there. Took off all my clothes and tried on her underwear.
What?
If I were Columbo, I'd Peter Falk her.
Oh, come on.
Not so I'll just stalk her. If she runs that bad guy on first, she's ruining the moment, I would balk her. If she were alone from good times, I'd be Jimmy Walker.
That was really creepy. Yeah. That was creepy, yeah. Man. There's something very disturbing about you. Stalking, chalking. No, seriously, I really want you to leave.
There's a piano right out that door, and if
guys,
I this
can
guy
we ask this guy to leave
right now?
I'm out.
Paul, nice meeting you. Thank you so much.
It was
much.
Very nice meeting what all of you. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
You know, he had to go through how many different producers, talent scouts to get to that point to walk through those doors so he could sing a song about stalking Paula, which I'm sure they already knew about, and then they have to put on that, oh my gosh, I am so freaked out, you're creepy.
Yeah, because that's what I wonder. Does he try to really sing before he gets there and then pulls the stalking song, or did he tell him I've got to sing?
No, he told him straight up front.
Wow.
That's why I can't watch that. It's just so fake and forced.
He did have some good rhymes in there, though, didn't he?
He's
an excellent rhymer.
Yeah, how many people can use Peter Falk as another
word? Yeah, I'm
going to
Peter Falker.
Yeah, it's clever.
Is that like confront her with a lazy eye?
Yeah.
or
a dirty,
in a
trench
dirty coat?
Trench coat. Dirty.
Yeah.
Now, guys, Celebrity Apprentice isn't the only celebrity show on right now. We also have Celebrity Rehab. With
I haven't seen this
Daniel
yet.
Baldwin.
I forgot about
one
this.
Of the Baldwin brothers is in rehab.
It's on VH1, right?
Yeah. Also, Jeff Conway from Taxi.
Sweet. And he's working his way into everything. He was on Celebrity Fit Club, too, right?
Yeah. Let's check it out where he loses his mind. It's genius.
I just find it very interesting that, no offense to you, but, you know, you've had a seizure in here, you've had to go to the hospital in here, you've disrupted the group number of times with loud antics, you smuggled drugs into the place.
No, I did not.
Unbeknownst to you or not.
No, I did not take it back.
Unbeknownst to you.
Take it back.
I did not take it back.
Wow. What is this, kindergarten?
Take it back.
Take it back.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah, no take back.
Sticks and stones.
What? Why the hell would anyone want to watch that? That train wreck.
How old is he?
He doesn't.
Has he, like, regressed into youth? Is that what they're doing? Was that
he looks like a guy
pretend you're 10 again?
He's done a lot of drugs.
I mean, he hasn't done any. I mean, I'm not saying he hasn't done anything since Taxi, but
what was he? Kinnicky in
the last thing I saw him.
Yeah,
in,
he, actually, yeah, he was doing some the Broadway with the.
The last thing I saw him in was Man in the Moon with Jim Carrey, where he played the same part he did on Taxi in the refilm part. You know where?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I remember that, but he's doing reality shows now.
And I thought that was creepy because all of them were older and they were dressed up like they were young again. That was like
I thought that was neat.
Time paradox.
I thought it was neat that they got all the original people.
I'm sure it wasn't too hard.
Now, remember that show Rock of Love with Bret Michaels? Yeah, they're too busy right now.
You know, Judd Hirsch was working on the Dear John reunion at the time.
Yeah, he's got a different reunion. No, Rock of Love, wasn't the whole thing of Bret Michaels, he wants to meet someone to...
Well, so was I Love New York. It's two seasons, it's like...
Yeah, it's season two. Did he already dump the chick in the last thing? But here's not the part of the clip that I care about. The whole thing is about this chick is too drunk to make it to the ceremony where she gets kicked off the show. She decides she's just going to get blitzed.
Why would he kick her off? If she's ready and
she's
raring.
The party girl.
But that's not the thing. Just let's pay attention to the music through the entire clip. I think it's genius.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Did I meet anybody?
Sweetheart, wake up. Hello? Hey.
It's ridiculous to come in, go through all this to meet a guy, and the second you have an opportunity, your next thing you know, you're like so drunk that you don't even know what the hell is going on with you. Stand up.
Illuminations in a minute.
Come on, let's go.
You know what? I think she's done.
She's done.
Okay, whatever. Let's go.
Are we missing somebody?
I love it.
You know what, boss? I don't think Courtney's
going
to make
xylophone.
Obviously, we have a situation here with Courtney.
I like the big oboe.
Yeah.
We are not going to boot her or physically move her out of her bed. We're going to make sure she's safe tonight.
So can somebody sleep with you?
So when Courtney wakes up, will one of you please tell her that her tour has ended?
That's a nice tagline. Your tour has ended.
Who was he, the lead singer of Poison?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm never sure with the 80s hair band guys. I can't remember them real well.
I like the girl criticizing her. You know, you're on a show, you're trying to have a relationship with a man. It's like, wait, hold on, okay? You're staying at his house. This isn't a house. This is a sound stage.
It's a studio.
Yeah. Now, this show, last season, he had two women left, and he couldn't choose either of them because he wasn't ready for a relationship. So now this season he's ready?
Yeah.
That's maybe, why he's doing another show?
Maybe he had the Scott Baio life coach.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he's 46 and pregnant.
Well, there's also the Tila Tequila show. There's that Isle of New York. Basically, they have these shows with a person
with
who's
rock stars that
semi-celebrity who dates lots of women, and hopefully they have cat fights when they get eliminated.
And who is that? I don't ever even know who New York is.
She was on the Flava Flav show. She was one of the contestants, and she was so, I guess, entertaining to VH1 and audience. She got her own show.
Mm. Well, that works.
Great. Yeah.
And Tila,
it's like whenever you see somebody entertaining on Jerry Springer, doesn't necessarily mean you should give them their own show.
I think she was some chick on MTV or something. I have no idea who Tila Tequila is.
Tila Tequila is some MySpace whore.
Okay.
Oh, MySpace whore? That's all really? Her resume.
That's what she is.
Let me check out your resume, Tila. Oh, MySpace whore. I think you would be, I think have some more
for
you.
That's promising. I think we can make a spot for you here on our corporation.
You've got 10 million visitors, so you're going to get...
How many friends do you have on MySpace?
So you have 1 million unique hits. How many times have you been hit by a unique person?
How much spam do you get per week? You know, I know our Nowhere Mulberry MySpace. I can get a lot of spam.
Yeah. Every time I log on to my MySpace, which is about once a month, immediately after I log off, I get like 5 different messages from someone that has a different name but the same picture.
Yeah, that's what I love. You get like several of them. It's the same chick in the bikini, but she has different names. Like...
I want to be your friend.
The sad thing is when you click on there to see what it is, obviously it's spam. You see that she has friends, so there's guys like, oh, gosh, she's pretty. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to prove her.
She's got boobies.
She's my friend. Click.
Look, she's got a butt. Oh, that's funny.
I will approve of that. Now, Bill.
I'll approve of that.
I'd buy that for $1.
You know, you're most likely the stalker guys are going to have those kind of MySpaces, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
I broke into her house when she wasn't there. Took off all my clothes and tried on her underwear.
What?
If I were Columbo, I'd Peter Falk her.
Oh, come on.
Not so I'll just stalk her.
Wow, creepy.
No, I did not.
Unbeknownst.
No, I did not.
Unbeknownst.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
You know what I noticed is Daniel Baldwin tries to get out unbeknownst. He says it like 5 times. Unbeknownst. Unbeknownst.
Unbeknownst.
It's like, dude,
he learned that in therapy.
Just give up on the sentence, dude. You're never going to get it out. Now, Bill, I didn't get to see Wife Swap, but you said it was pretty sad and pathetic, right?
It really was. You know, it's like last week we had some really great drops and it was funny and the people. But it's like they're trying so hard to go to the opposite ends of the spectrum for the families. This week it was a very rigid military-style family and a family that was struggling financially and spent all their money on clowning. They were literally going to clown school.
Awesome.
And it was just really depressing.
Is that
clown
high school or clown college? Because I've heard of clown college.
No, actual college. The woman was spending like $40,000 a semester for a like PhD or a master's in fine arts, concentrating on like experimental performance.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was awful.
Now, I do have the other lady. What kind of background does she have, the other mom?
She was just a strict stay-at-home mom that ran a company with her husband.
And she did not approve of the clowning, right?
She didn't approve of anything. She was very strict, very rigid. One comment she made that was really kind of sad at the end of it was that her and her husband have no – their children's happiness have no bearing on their lives.
Yeah.
So –
well,
yeah.
I have a clip here where she tells, you know, where every week they say, now the wife makes the rules. She can make whatever rules she wants, the visiting mother. And she decides there's no clowning, no clown paraphernalia in the house or whatever to the husband.
And he gets real depressed and leaves in his underwear.
Yeah, he's so sad he decides he's not even going to wear clothes. Let's check it out.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of the time I'm here, we're moving into a proper-sized home where you'll have the space to get your life back under control. I'll grant you 15 minutes to pack only the clothing that you need to take. No clown stuff.
Okay, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate it.
It kills me. I don't want to live if I can't be a clown.
I was waiting for Tears of a Clown to kick in. Would that have been genius?
Oh, sweetie, I don't know what Daddy's going to need, so let's pack a few things for him, okay? We got 60 seconds.
That's not sad music.
It's time. Let's go.
She even set a timer.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
I'm sure they put that in editing.
I wonder about John's psychological stability, because it's just abnormal for a grown man to be upset about something and because of it leave the house in his underwear. Maybe he needs some professional help. Good job.
I'll show you. I won't even get dressed.
It's just, you know, the entire episode is really sad. This guy you know, lost his job. He's spending money that they don't have to make sure that their child is happy. And, of course, it's to the extreme. Same with his wife, money they don't have so that she's happy doing what she loves doing. And he was just really emotionally and mentally exhausted, and it was just sad. It was really depressing to watch. It was, after it was over, I was just kind of like, wow, okay. So that's it.
Let me ask you this.
Just not a fun episode.
What do you get from being on the show? Do you get cash or?
Yeah, I would hope you get some sort of stipend or something. Well, I don't know.
That one show. Remember, they used to let the wife decide how they were.
Yeah, that was the Fox show.
Yeah.
They probably give each family like $25,000 or something.
Yeah, it was like $25,000 or $50,000.
Because I would wonder,
like,
what is the motivation to be on the show otherwise?
Well, yeah, and also the clown family, the father, because he was laid off, they're living in a converted garage. And the show didn't have enough times that they couldn't emphasize that they weren't in a whole house. They were in, like, a 300-square-foot garage. So it would, like, show this house, and then it would, like, pinpoint onto the garage anytime they went to visit that house, you know, what was going on inside of it. It was just really depressing.
Nice. Maybe I'm glad I missed it.
Now, yeah, you should be. Everyone should be glad they missed it. It was awful.
I forgot, Bill. Did you guys get to watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Oh my God, did I? Holy crap.
Is it Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles? Or why don't they just call it Terminator, the
series?
How about
Terminal? It's friggin' Terminal is what it is. It's awful. It's dead on arrival.
I watched the first two episodes, and I got to say that it's got some dopiness, some cheesiness. But I thought it was pretty entertaining at the same time.
I was laughing so hard when, during one scene, the Terminator comes to their house and they hide behind a recliner while he's shooting at them.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that recliner must be reinforced with a lead wall or something, because those bullets aren't going through at all.
Yeah,
and it was like, just, you know, moments filled like that throughout the entire show.
Well, did you notice later on when the cops are there, they said, there's something not right here. Why is that chair lined with Kevlar?
Oh, my God, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they mentioned that.
Oh, my God, I didn't even see that.
It's the Kevlar Lazy Boy
edition. That's even worse. That makes it worse that they actually wrote that line into the show later to justify such a bad scene.
Yeah, that's what I figured it was. Like, hey, we got to make that up with something.
But yeah, they probably did that on reshoot. Like, oh, my God, look what we did. We got to justify that some way.
Now, here's the thing. I thought the pilot had some promise, and like I said, a lot of some cheesy dopiness to it. Like, for instance, it's Sarah Connor and John Connor. They're hiding out and they're living with a guy. Everything seems fine because ever since Terminator 2, when they got rid of the T-1000, they destroyed the chip. Remember the microchip from the future and the arm, and plus Arnold went in the lava. Everything seems to be quiet and fine, but they're still kind of living carefully. And John Connor's like, Mom, I don't think we need to worry about this. But Sarah Connor, at the same time, she's not changing anything. And also, she has nightmares.
She buys the Kevlar Lazy Boy.
Yeah, she lines her Lazy Boy with Kevlar, which is pretty smart because you never know
when
you need
to. That's special order.
She pre-planned. She said, maybe one day I'll have to use this Lazy Boy as a shield.
Yeah.
She was thinking way ahead. I mean, it's pretty ingenious.
She's smart like that.
So basically,
you know, she's a soldier. She stays on her feet.
So what happens is they leave this guy who obviously loves her and loves John, but he gets left out in the lurch after he proposes to her. And he's at school, and basically this Terminator, he sees him on the little laptop. He basically is seeing police bulletins, and he knows that that's John Connor. So anyway, he goes to the school posing as a substitute. I love he walks in and goes, you're a... So Mr. So-and-so will not be making it. I'll be your substitute for the day. Now let me call the roll. And he goes, Susie Johnson here, or whatever. And he's like,
John. Meanwhile, he's cutting a gun out of his thigh with a letter opener.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was about. They should have implied that there's metal detectors at the school if they were going to even have that, where he's hiding a gun in his leg and cutting it open. Don't you think they should have showed that? Maybe they did and I didn't notice it. I don't know. I'll go back.
No, they didn't. That's one thing they missed. Maybe in editing they should have went, oh, we need to shoot a new scene where he goes into the school through the metal detector and says he has a steel rod in his leg.
So his name is John Reese. He's using his dad's name, apparently.
Reese.
Not to mention, John Reese's. Reese's Pieces. So anyway, we have River from Serenity. She's Cameron. I guess in a nod to James Cameron, who created the Terminator. She's like this hot girl who's kind of talking to him or whatever, but she's actually a protective Terminator sent in the past to protect him or whatever. But the worst part is he starts shooting at John Connor and he goes, class dismissed. Why would the Terminator say that to a bunch of kids in a high school? No, it would have been funny if he had a list of witty quips to say, and one of them was class dismissed, and it goes, boop, 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 and he goes, class dismissed.
That would have been better.
So basically, here's what my problem with it. The guy who played the Terminator was fine. He had a decent build or whatever. But all of a sudden, he starts doing this head tilt like dogs do when they're curious.
Yeah.
He did that way too much, and he's acting more robotic. Dude, did you watch the Terminator? Arnold didn't act like he didn't act like he was friggin' RoboCop, all right?
What was funny was not only was he doing that, he also did the T-1000 run, that pump your arms thing, like as he's running. And I was okay.
The Terminator's an infiltration unit. He's supposed to look like a human, not act like some jackass or whatever. So anyway, the whole thing leads to Cameron helps them escape, and the whole thing is like, why is this happening? We destroyed Skynet. She says, well, obviously they picked up the technology somewhere else, and Skynet is still activated. There's still Judgment Day. What are we going to do? So it all culminates to this big scene here where they're in a bank vault. And it turns out, and I kind of like this idea, Bill, because I was a big Terminator fan of Terminator 1 and 2, not necessarily Terminator 3. It's an entertaining flick, but it's not part of the other films. It's just kind of...
No, it's not.
But I like the idea that John Connor, apparently they're sending back a shitload of Terminators to different timelines, and he's sending people back from the future to prepare for things. They go to this bank vault, and she's like, there will be different pieces in these different bank deposit boxes to form a gun. She said that he sent someone back to the 60s, and they had this time to prepare things for them in the future, which I thought was kind of a neat idea. So basically, they're like, well, how do we destroy Skynet if we don't know who does it? And her whole idea is to go back, to go to the future, to 2007. Let's check out this clip and see if you can tell what the hell's going on.
What have you done?
You want to find Skynet? You want to stop Skynet? This is the way.
You don't know who builds it.
No, but we know where and we know when. We can go kill it before it's born. We can stop running, stay in one place, fight.
Do it!
Where are we? Same where. Different when.
So essentially, this is the whole MacGuffin for the series. Who is, where's Skynet and how will we destroy it? And of course, if it's a good TV show and it gets to go on, they will never do it because you can't have them do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a TV show, am I right? Like Lost, get off the island.
I remember when I was in, school and Terminator 2 had come out and everybody was like, oh, Terminator 3 is not far behind because, Arnold got his arm caught in that gear and his, his arm was left behind and all. And so that was like the whole thing was that, whenever he got his arm caught in the gear and had to rip it out, that arm gave whoever that found it the new technology. So maybe they'll incorporate that into it or something.
Well, what's funny is they go to 2007 and no one knows who Sarah or John Connor are, so they can relax a little bit. Of course, the mom does. I do like the mom as Sarah Connor, except it's hard to picture somebody else that's not Linda Hamilton in that role, but I get used to it.
Sure.
The kid who played John Connor was fine. He's better than the guy from Terminator.
Hey, he's no Eddie Furlong.
He was as good. He didn't bother me. And I do say I do like Summer Glau. I like her not being this emotional wreck that's River. And so, River, are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that she's not River, but still, she's not that good. Don't give her too much credit.
Well, I think she's good in that role because she's funny. She's trying to adapt to human movements. The second episode I thought was a lot better than the pilot.
I think her eyebrow birthmark has more
You know what's funny? You want to know what something that's funny? When I was watching the show and I noticed she had that little birthmark, I was like, Bill is going to point that out on the show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I knew you were because you...
It was driving me crazy.
Because he always points out imperfections. But anyway, the thing that I thought was funny...
That's because I'm so damn perfect.
Yeah. Some kind of psychological thing. But anyway, the thing that I thought was hilarious in this is when they go to the future, you see the Terminator's head pop off, and it goes in the future with them. And this guy's cleaning up the side of the road, you know, those cleaning crews. And he picks up the Terminator head, and he's like, damn, I'm going to keep this. He's got a cyborg skull. And he sets a Terminator head like, above his TV. And
nice.
You see his eyes light up like it's still active. All of a sudden, it cuts to like a junkyard, and the Terminator body is in there. Who the hell put it in a junkyard? They found this Terminator body. So the exoskeleton gets up, and it kills a guy. Cut to later, the guy has a knock on his door, and he opens it up, and there's this guy there.
Torso.
And he's got a motorcycle helmet on. He goes, can I help you something, buddy? And he lifts open the thing, and there's like a dead guy's head in there. So the Terminator body's wearing like a guy's severed head on his, and he's wearing clothes. And he like kills the guy.
My head.
He takes his head back. So later on, you see that the Terminator's walking down the street, and he's got wrappings around his face and goggles to hide it. So the Terminator's put himself back together, and he's wearing a disguise so no one sees him.
And there was Bee Gee music playing
so
in the background.
He's pretending to be Darkman.
I thought that was so goofy that I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I just thought it was so stupid, but it was funny at the same time. Obviously, you know, every week they're going to encounter new Terminators. Like, for instance, this is where she says that there's actually resistance fighters from the future sent back in time to stash weapons, etc., create, you know...
Which is just a convenient way of creating something that doesn't exist.
Right. Basically, like, they're expanding on it by... Well, see, in the original Terminator, Kyle Reese says that they sent... the Terminator back, then they sent me, then they blew the time machine. So apparently these things are a dime a dozen in the future, and they're sending back like 10 Terminators, they got resistance fighters, they got all these people coming back.
And they learn how
so
to
fix the
time
machine. So wait, if the time machines were done, from what point in time are they sending them back if now they have new time machines?
I have no idea. It's just like... just a way to keep the story going. I don't know.
Hey, man, it's the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Well, I mean, it's all that the cyclical thing, you know, because they go back in time.
If you think about the time and stuff, it'll give you a tired head.
No, I'm just saying, John Connor's still going forward in time. He's like, maybe we should send resistance fighters before we destroy it.
Yeah. I'm going to say I like that idea, though. I thought it was cool. I love the whole Cyberdyne and Skynet. I felt a neat kind of nostalgia. The fact that they were talking about Terminator stuff, I thought it was cool. I like
that. Yeah, but at what point is that novelty going to wear off?
We'll see.
Yeah.
And that, I will say this, it's better than Bionic Woman.
Good Lord, is it ever.
She want to talk about Friday Night Lights real quick? It's good stuff. No. Wiggins goes back home to his brother, and they need money for a mortgage. So what his bright idea is to go to that creepy guy's house.
No, he just goes to get his
stuff. No, he just goes there to get his stuff.
Yeah, he goes to get his stuff, and then he finds that money, like $3,000.
Yeah, they knock a gun down.
Yeah, he's like, no, I got to put this back. He'll know. You can tell how scared Riggins is of this guy. Then he finds like money. He goes, dude, we should take it. And I was like, well, how come your fear of the gun didn't pass you also stealing his money?
I got to say, the writing this season, a little weak. Just a little weak. Like, they're a little, you know, I don't know. There's something up. Not as strong as it was season one.
See, I don't know what you mean. Maybe there will be moments in an episode where it's motivation, character motivation, but I think the writing is solid, like dialogue or...
Maybe it's the motivations they're using
because
in the show.
One episode has so many characters involved in different things. Maybe a certain character's storyline was weak or motivation. Like, I really
like
don't
the
think...
other coach for the other team.
I know that Riggins needed the money. I know that Riggins needed the money, but at the same time,
why would you
steal money from a guy who you know has guns and would most likely kill you?
And
well,
it's all
I
this...
can almost say that it's the same as the Tyra and Landry thing. Like, they get into something that's way too over their heads, and then, you know, they build on that. So how much are they going to play this out, like Riggins stealing money from a drug dealer?
Right.
You know, Riggins' life is going to be in jeopardy. It's they're going to things that they don't need to do. They don't need to build this false drama.
They're going into this real-life situation that will not have real-life
Exactly. It's outcome. Not real life implications.
Well, at the same time, I'm curious to what's going to happen about it.
You know? Oh, absolutely, because I love the characters. They've built them up enough in the first season for me to be able to hang on.
Right. What else happened in this episode? The stuff with
See what? Well, Coach apologized to Riggins for the misunderstanding with Julie.
Yeah, and he told him that was honorable, that he didn't rat Julie out to save his own skin.
Smash gave a verbal commitment to TMU, which made him happy and his mom happy.
There's a whole thing with the asshole coach whose wife is dying, and that's why he was tackling Riggins.
What happened to Street, man? I want to know what's going on with Street and the waitress that saved him from P-Girl.
Apparently he's on vacation. I don't know. He'll be back next week, I guess. Okay, what do you say we take a break and we come back? We talk about a few things and do the news.
Hey, Talk Radio X listeners. This is Mulberry Bill from Nowhere in Mulberry. Tune in to Nowhere in Mulberry every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific to hear the J-String, Steven, the Pop Culture Seller, Vanessa the News Girl, and me, Mulberry Bill, discuss the latest in TV, movies, and geek and pop culture.
You know, another thing that I wanted to say about the Terminator show is I thought it had awesome sound for a TV show.
Yeah, it did have good sound.
A lot of bass, and there's a lot of funny action. And, you know, it's TV action. There's not a lot of blood or whatever, but no. I thought the sound design was really good. And also, Friday Night Lights, great show. I hate selling it short, but I can't remember anything that happens a week later. I need to
see. I tend to watch it later in the week again, just to remember what went on.
What I need to start doing is watching a recap before the show begins. But it's a great show. That's all I'll say. Okay, here we go. Now, Celebrity Apprentice, they had this Kodak thing where they're supposed to push Kodak. Did you see that, Bill?
It's a Kodak world.
Yeah, it's a Kodak world. Moment. It's a Kodak world, and we live in it. The whole idea was to sell that Kodak has this new printer that uses less ink and costs half of what your normal printing needs will do, I guess.
Yeah.
And immediately Trump asks Gene Simmons if he'll go to the women's side to even out the numbers. So he does.
Of course Gene will go to the women's
side. You can't beat Gene's arrogance.
Yeah, and immediately he becomes the project manager. And he gets hung up on the... He comes up and he goes, Kodak... It's a Kodak world, and we just live in it. He goes, I like that. Let's run with that. And he never had another idea after that. So he even gets the guys to put letters on this trailer. They each have these Airstream trailers or whatever they're called. And they're supposed to sell printers and whoever makes the most money or whatever. So,
what the worst part was is he didn't go to the meeting with the executives to know exactly what they wanted. So there you go. Yeah, you're screwed.
He said, I don't need to be bothered with that. I'm the idea man. I'm coming with the ideas. So they put, it's a Kodak world all the way around it. And it did look nice, but it had
And his big thing was, look, we have, it's a Kodak world, welcome, it's a Kodak world. It could work either way.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the guys...
You are a douchebag.
With Stephen Baldwin, they come up with this idea of having Tito Ortiz and the black guy, what's his name?
Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis. You know. Knocked out.
That general black man.
What did they say? Knocked out by Kodak or whatever. And that shows them.
It's a knockout punch.
Yeah, it's a knockout punch. They got their boxing gloves and they've been knocked out. But what's funny is Steven gets up on the table taking pictures and he like almost knocks a table over and it spills coffee all over their laptop with all their images and stuff, and he ruins the laptop.
Nice.
So they have to come at the last minute, these banners that they have to tape to the trailer. It looks real crappy.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But the whole thing is they push
the
product.
They just ruined the laptop. They could pull the hard drive out and put it in something else.
Well, you know what? They only had 8 hours.
They were trying to dry it out, too, you could see.
Yeah, you know, they probably had no idea.
That's not going to happen.
So here's...
And you know what? You take any Apple laptop to an Apple store for work, and they're going to blow you off. You go, oh, I'm sorry, this is going to take like 2 weeks to pull a couple files off.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We're going to put a tag on it. We'll get to it in a week, but... Here's the thing. Here's why the men won. I really think they won. Let's check it out.
Big Al came rolling in, and it was really cool. It was nice to see him. My brother's a celebrity. I think people in the area saw him there, and that kind of
lent to our cause and the promotion of the product.
You know anybody that takes digital Alec photos Baldwin. With
He's relying on his brother a lot.
Would you like to save those people 50% on their printing?
That sounds exciting to me.
Well, there's no one more full of crap than Steven. So he sounds like a good salesman.
I hear that.
The cartridges they buy?
I don't, but I can imagine, yeah.
They're very expensive.
I'm blown away, actually.
Well, seriously.
I need to sit down.
Hey, he was the Mary
man. A couple of these things either way, but he did make it easy. He really did put a little something on it.
I'll pay $1,000 each.
You're a fantastic man. Thank you very much.
We took Alec Baldwin's
Is that Brittany? I'm a Christian. I wouldn't lie to you. It will save you 50%.
It showed everyone what a real Baldwin is, because obviously choice Alec Baldwin, massive TV star, Stephen Baldwin.
Didn't he pretty much win the task for him right there? You can't tell me that they sold 1,000 of those things.
No, he said he'd pay $1,000 each. He'd pay $1,000 for each printer he bought.
Oh, I got
I think he bought like 3 printers.
Oh, I see. He paid $1,000 for each printer. I thought he bought 1,000
printers. And actually,
printers.
That's probably what they run retail.
Yeah. The thing looked pretty big, man.
It was a scanner, fax machine, printer, but copier.
I do got to say the printer business, the whole ink cartridge thing is out of hand. $50 for
it
a
is.
Friggin' color cartridge.
Well, I even buy the ones that are, like, refurbished, and even those are, like, $15 to $30.
It's a scam, man.
I always make sure whatever ones I buy that the colors are all separate. I don't buy as one whole unit.
Yeah, I have, like, an HP office printer, photo printer thing.
No, it's black, and then there's a blue one, there's a red one, and the yellow one.
Black, blue.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, they're all separate. That way... Because, you're going to run out of red before you're going to run out of yellow. You're going to run out of
black, cyan, yellow, and magenta.
Yeah, the first one you run out is black all the time.
So.
Right?
Well, it depends, because sometimes the black ones will
always
have that double
black.
Size.
Right, always bet on black.
Check it, Bleed. Bro was on.
Cutty said he can't hang.
Okay, before we get to the news, let's listen to this clip of Project Runway and count the queens.
I always watch the judges' faces, and what? Nina Garcia could not keep the look off of her face. I think that she was impressed by it.
Whose design was it?
He came up with the color idea, and we decided on the model. We just kind of went, I can do this, you can do that.
And this is 45 yards of fabric, just to let you know. Can we see
scary.
The back?
It's amazing because it's a very complicated dress. It's a couture dress, but the job is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what?
7. It looks beautifully crafted. It's certainly important and exciting looking. I think it's very soigné.
Huh?
Oh, soigné.
You are the winner of this challenge. Your looks will be featured in a Tresemme ad in Elle magazine.
It's very soigné. What is that?
Soigné, Tresemme, ooh la la.
I think it's very soigné.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our cue. Let's do the news! It's very soigné.
I love the soigné news.
I love Swanee's news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
I can do this. You can do that.
Well, I'm going to try and keep the news short since we have quite a few DVDs this week. First story out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Some BYU students are a little upset at Gold's Gym there because they feel Gold's Gym is inappropriate. They've interviewed some, and they've said one guy said he had to leave because at Gold's Gym on the TVs they show numerous things. Normally, they can show movies or TV, and they feel that what they're showing is inappropriate. The music videos, they say it's extremely indecent and at times outright pornography.
I think it's very soigné.
And it can be soigné. That's another thing you have to watch out for. So they've teamed together with some other BYU Mormon types and put together a list of things they don't want anymore there. So they don't want them to show any more R-rated movies or sexually explicit or racy PG-13 movies. They want to change the content of the Gold's Gym Broadcasting Network or not show the network at all because of the racy music videos. They want to keep the external TVs on decent and clean stations or let members choose the channels themselves. I can't argue with that. Now, this is the best one, the fourth request. Install blinds on the aerobics room to block the dancing, which is very provocative.
Nice.
So these guys are running on their treadmills, look through the aerobics room, see women with their asses in the air, and they just can't take it.
They're getting boners.
Joseph Smith would be very unhappy.
I mean, I can understand why they don't want them to play rated R movies. That's probably not good.
Yeah, well, they have a thing called the cardio cinema where you can, like, you know, ride on a bike or run on a treadmill or, you know, anything that does, you know, a cardio room and have a movie playing. So I guess they would show R or PG-13 movies. It might be a little racy for this type. What's crazy to me is that there would be anything at all, you know, in Salt Lake City, Utah, that would be racy like that, you know, because the majority of people that are going to go to your gym are Mormons, so you would think that they would cater to the Mormon sensibility. But, But those aerobics, man, those are some hardcore
what
stuff.
What did Joseph Smith do?
Apparently they just like, you know, we're going to do whatever we want. We roll the way
it's
we
Gold
roll.
It's Gold Gym, yeah.
They can't show
standards.
That. Oh, man, I had the name in my mind. It just went out. That movie with Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta.
Yeah, Perfect.
Perfect, yeah. They can't show that at Gold's Gym.
No, that's too provocative.
Now, next story. This, you know, sometimes you just have really stupid people. This one particularly is really stupid. In Marion, North Carolina, a guy was going to these local mini-marts, Bylow and Ingalls, and he would identify himself as a Marion police officer and that he was in the narcotics division. And it turns out, you know, he kept using this line on all these different girls that worked there. And the last time he went there, he used the line again on a girl that helped him find something in a mini mart. And they wrote down his license plate and called the police to see if he was actually an officer. And lo and behold, he wasn't. 33-year-old Aaron Thomas Melton was taken into custody at Rutherford County last week and charged with impersonating an officer. Melton admitted that he was told employees he was an officer. When asked why, Melton said, can you guess why he would say it?
Because he wanted to meet girls?
He wanted to impress the ladies.
Yeah.
Now, Melton said he didn't know. Yeah, Bubba said it too. He didn't know it was a crime, that he thought it sounded better than telling the ladies he was a plumber.
Yeah. Girls don't like
baby.
Plumbers, they like cops.
I want to plunge your pipes.
Yeah.
Okay,
not a good
so
idea.
Another dumb person, this one just happens to be a cop, or he was a cop until this happened. A former state trooper accused of overlooking a possible drug charge in exchange for a sexual favor was sentenced to 4 years probation under a deal reached in court. This officer, James Moss, will serve no jail time under the terms of his plea. What happened was last summer, after a traffic stop, the woman was an adult film star named Brandy Cummings. He stopped her for speeding.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he stopped her for speeding and noticed that she had illegal pills on her. And he was accused of throwing the pills away after the porn star had performed a sex act on him.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, what he didn't count on was the porn star then immediately posting pictures she took of the incident on her MySpace page.
Wow.
Which kind of screwed him in the end, literally and figuratively. So he accepted a plea where he just has to do, this probation, but luckily 10 counts of official misconduct going against him because it turns out he would do this to other women.
Oh.
I guess it may have worked or may not have worked. I don't know. But once the women heard of this, they came forward and, well.
Oh, we can get him in trouble.
So let me ask you. The guy's a cop. He pulls this chick over. He gets basically a
oral favors.
He gets a blowjob from a porn starlet,
yes.
And she posted on her MySpace.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're a drunk-ass, stupid slut.
So basically when he got high fives when he went back to work.
Yeah, hey guys, I just got a blowy from a porn star. No way! Yeah, way.
It's like everybody else.
I may get suspended, man, but it's worth it.
All the other state troopers are having to stop doing it now.
So, another idiot, an Orange County, California man has pleaded guilty to trying to smuggle monkeys in his pants.
Huh?
Yes! A monkey, or are you just happy to see me? The Los Angeles Times reportsman Robert John Cusack. And that's live audio from the monkey in his pants.
Get these off! Whoa.
He arrived from Indonesia last June at LAX. Officials found 50 orchids in his luggage, and 4 rare birds also flew out. When the inspectors asked him if he had anything else to hide, he said there were monkeys in his pants. Sure enough, a search revealed a pair of endangered pygmy monkeys. The monkeys are now thriving in the LA Zoo, but the birds he had in his suitcase are dead.
If some guy said, yeah, but I got monkeys in my pants, you go, pass, oh, you card.
I know, exactly. Oh, you're so funny. Up against the wall, prick.
I think it's very Soigné.
Oh, he's smuggling. Yes. Where are you smuggling them at?
Is it Soigné to smuggle monkeys in your pants?
It is.
Very Soigné.
I think that's the very
definition. I can't even say it. Soigné. Now, we all know the Westboro Baptist Church people. You know, the God hates fags people.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, just recently, they're the big thing on CNN and Headline News
picnics,
and all that.
By the way.
What? Say again?
They have lovely picnics.
They do. Terrific picnics. I love their potluck.
Oh,
wow. That was quite a delay.
Yeah, thanks, Foggy. And it's Swan.
So on all the big news right now is that poor girl that was murdered, the pregnant Marine. Well, it turns out the guy that murdered her was also a Marine, and now they're looking for him. But where this story takes place is the Westboro Baptist Church decided, you know what, we're going to picket the Camp Lejeune, North Carolina base where this guy who murdered the girl's from. Because, you know, in their ideas, based on their extensive experience with Marines for over a decade, they can testify that it's typical of a Marine to murder a woman and her unborn child, which is quite a thing to say.
Is that typical?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Big time. These people just love publicity. And people will give it to them. So the Marines there at Camp Lejeune were warned not to, you know, engage in any verbal arguments or fisticuffs because that's exactly what the Westboro Baptist people
just
want.
Get one of those Marine snipers and get them all.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That would be a really good opportunity to pick them all off at once.
Nice.
Headshot. A transgender woman, woe man, has sued a Catholic hospital in, where is this exactly? Oh, in Daly City, California, for refusing a breast augmentation surgery. So this transgendered woman has gone to court claiming that these people won't do it because they said it's not God's plan for her to have
her
breasts along with her sliced off schween and new vagina.
Hi.
Yes, that's her.
Oh,
that was from our interview with her. So in 2006, she had the gender reassignment surgery at another hospital, and shortly after requested a breast augmentation surgery to be performed at the Seton Medical Center because her surgeon was affiliated at the hospital. The hospital denied her request. An official told her that God made you a man. So that's why they
weren't. And she doesn't understand the history of psychiatry.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe she's not a Scientologist, but there's things that she knows, I'm sure, because you got to be pretty sure of yourself to cut off your wiener.
Yeah, I would think you would need to sleep on that, you know. Don't make a rash decision.
At least for a night.
Because I don't think you get it back once they cut it off, do you?
No, I think it's gone, because they actually use it for, well, you know what, never mind. I don't even want to go there. That's like useless knowledge I wish
cut
I didn't have.
Cut off this piece of deal and feed it to them.
You watched that same
I did, Steven. Let's leave it there. Now, you gotta love Southern just home fried hillbillies.
Hey, man, in
Tampa Bay, Florida.
Like
If the vehicle you drive is a reflection of your personality, then what do truck balls say? Popular truck trailer balls. Hitch decorations started appearing a few years ago, sold under the name Truck Nuts, Bull Balls, and Truck Balls. The ornaments are replicas of the male genitalia and hang from the back of a trailer vehicle's trailer hitch.
So the truck has testicles?
Yes. Yes. Clever, isn't it?
Trucksticles?
Now, what?
Trucksticles? I got nothing.
Trucksticles, yeah. But now a Virginia lawmaker is proposing a ban on the trailer decorations, calling them obscene and a safety hazard because they can be distracting to other drivers.
So
that truck has balls. Oh my God, I'm losing control of my car.
I'm just going to say this. Okay, you're since you're a dog, you walk it, they're dangling down.
Well, you know what? Dog balls are very distracting.
How often do you see dog balls?
No, I'm just saying it's
Steven's always looking for them.
Balls. He's like, carries. Balloons. Tires.
He's like, look, that dog still has its balls.
Well, there's no one more full of
Bob
crap.
Bob Barker would not be happy. You know, when you hear about a party and that mace was used at a party, you automatically think, you know, cops broke in and used, you know, pepper spray on people. Not so at this South Lake Tahoe party. The attack was actually with a mace, you know, a weapon used in medieval times to bludgeon opponents. Yeah. The attack resulted in the arrest of one man and the hospitalization of another for treatment of head injuries. South Lake Tahoe resident James Bernitsky, 19, was arrested Thursday morning in connection with the incident at about 3 a.m. Sunday at home on Lost Sheep Lane. That is a great street. Lost Sheep Lane. Wow. That's something else. I want to live on Lost Cow Road. A fight broke out among 40 or 50 people at a party, at which point a 23-year-old victim was struck with a mace.
Wow, that's got to suck.
Just have it lying around the house.
No, I did not.
Unbeknownst.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Whoa,
it was Kanicki struck somebody with a mace.
Kanicki, say it isn't so.
What is a freaking medieval weapon doing in your house?
Maybe he's a collector.
Maybe he's a LARPer.
He's a LARPer.
They didn't mention that
he
was
watching those
mace.
Late night knife shows, and they had a great, great deal on a mace. Look at this! This is awesome.
We're done.
This awesome sword. You know that's there.
It's an exact replica of Excalibur.
Yeah, it's an Excalibur sword.
Only made
I love those late night things. All right, and that's the general news for this week.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the news this week, Bill.
No problem.
Do we have a special story for...
Yeah, you know what? I think we might want to dig out something we haven't dug out in a long time.
What would that be, Bill?
Cult news.
Yeah!
I'd love to live for cult news.
All right, Bill, what do we got with cold news? It's returned.
Well, this week we had quite of a treat on the internet. Back, I believe, in 2006, Tom Cruise got this Medal of Valor award from the Church of Scientology, and they just happened to release some video of Tom Cruise that was shot specifically for this party.
Nice. So should I go ahead and play this?
Yeah, why not? Let's check out some clips of the insanity of Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise healer?
Yes.
A Scientologist is someone who can look at the world and really see what it is. Not only look at it and see it, but be able to go and be effective and do something about it.
Wow.
And someone who's not asking permission to do that. Why ask permission? We are the authorities.
And nothing says that better than the Mr. Cruise response to the wake-up call in the aftermath of 9/11.
He's Neo.
Now, of course, if you're Tom Cruise, just lending your name to a cause can generate more energy than most people hope for in a lifetime. But he never merely lends his name. If he takes a stand, it's pedal to the metal till the finish line.
Oh, hell yeah.
As in helping...
I love all the analogies.
He first saw the dust and heard the cough when descending to the ruins, and where he bolstered morale among firemen. The devastation had spread an unprecedented combination of toxins through the air, and it was lethal.
The EPA came out and said that the air was clean. And of course, as a Scientologist, you go, that's a lie. Outpoint lie.
It's a lie.
Scientologists know so much more than the EPA.
And nobody knew the cure. And while he could have provided
Tom Cruise knew the cure.
Support, that's not how Tom drives. Rather, he personally saw to the establishment of a first New York Hubbard detox project. And no, he did not ask permission.
Hell no, not Tom Cruise.
No, he doesn't need to ask permission. He's a Scientologist.
Now tell me if I'm wrong. Tom Cruise is pretty much the closest thing we have to a superhero. Am I right?
Well, you mean he's not a superhero?
He is a superhero.
He is a superhero. So don't be questioning him. He doesn't need to ask anybody's permission to be godlike.
He doesn't need permission to take action, right?
And you know what? He knows so much better than everyone else. So you know what? Just stop even trying. Just leave it to Tom.
Being a Scientologist, when you drive past an accident, it's not like anyone else. As you drive past, you know you have to do something about it because... you know you're the only one that can really help.
That's right. Get out of that car and help. You're Tom Cruise. No,
yeah, you're
going to
go.
You.
No, well,
it doesn't even matter that he's Tom Cruise. He's a Scientologist.
Yeah.
You know what? He's trained and he has his precept that he can stop blood. He's aware of movement of blood and how to clot blood in his mind.
And because a Scientologist does, he or she has the ability to...
I love the music.
Create new and better realities and improve conditions. Being Scientologists, you look at someone and you know absolutely that you can help them.
When is the friggin' Limp Bizkit gonna kick in right there?
I did it all for the nookie. What? Yeah. Nookie. So now Scientologists can also create their own reality. So they're like playing one large MMO.
I'll say. Yeah, it's like you're pretending. Oh, you say?
It's rough and tumble.
It's like we're all actors.
It's wild and woolly, and it's a blast.
It's wild and woolly. It's rough and tumble.
Rough, tumble, wild and woolly, and it's a blast. I love that. Good Lord! I love that creepy laugh. It's like the Joker.
He likes it too.
The Joker and the new Batman. If he has a laugh,
loves
that good.
Being wild and woolly.
It's creepy. Stop.
He loves to laugh.
He does. I love it.
I think it's very soigné.
Yes, it is.
It is.
So, what is the deal with that clip? I mean.
Hey, you know, somebody leaked it, and somebody got a hold of it and went, wow, this guy's insane, let's leak this to the internet. And what's great is the Defamer website is like a celebrity blog, And they were ordered by the Church of Scientology to take those video clips off, and they told them to go, basically. And they're keeping them up there.
Yeah, why
they're not going to – they're not caving in. They're not taking them down.
I don't understand why they'd want them to take it down, really.
Because it's Church of Scientology property.
Oh, it's not because they're embarrassed by it or anything?
Oh, no, not at all. They think this is just a cat's meow.
Yeah.
That's what's funny about Scientologists is they're not embarrassed by their craziness.
I think
everyone else is crazy.
Right. I mean, I think it's entertaining. I think Tom Cruise, at least he's entertaining about it, I guess. No, stop!
What's funny is how they talk about how everyone else is crazy. Like, everyone else is a suppressive personality, and they're the ones that have it right.
What are people called that haven't seen the light yet? What are you called?
They're suppressive personalities.
And it's not our fault, right? We just haven't...
We haven't seen the light.
We choose to be suppressive personalities. Yeah, it is our fault.
Oh.
Because we choose it. We could choose the proper way to go. We could see the light of LRH.
You just
LRH?
Yes, L. Ron Hubbard.
Stop the laugh.
You just need to read Dianetics.
They need to read the KSW. Keep Scientology working. That's our new cult news laugh.
Yeah, definitely. It's creepy, man. Oh, I love it. That all we have.
I think that's pretty much it. I think that's all we can take in one sitting.
Genius. I would say.
I think that's L. Ron Hubbard's laugh, and he's trying to laugh like.
All right, stop!
Gotta mix.
Oh, good lord.
Okay, stop. Let me say, Bill, we do some DVDs.
Let's do them.
Stop! I need it. I'm warning you. Okay,
shoot Pepsi out my nose.
That's it. He's got one of those. You know when you see some people and they laugh. He's one of.
It's not a real laugh. It's forced.
Have you ever like not known someone well? You're at some kind of dinner or something, and the person laughs, and they do that kind of laugh where it's like, "Holy shit!" And you back up a little bit.
Yeah, it's jarring.
It's a scary, jarring kind of laugh.
Like they're in. It's like they're in on the joke, and everyone else isn't.
Yeah, I think I have one of those laughs now I think about it. Okay, I'm glad Tom is amused. All right, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs.
DVDs, DVDs!
DVDs!
HD Blu-ray is in the definition!
DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody! What do we got this week?
I knew it! I was just waiting for it. Alright, DVDs for January 22nd, 2008. I'm going to start off with a classic... Well, wouldn't even say classic, but I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's the old George Peppard show, Banachek. It was part of that NBC mystery movie series.
Would that be Hannibal?
Say again?
Would that be Hannibal from A-Team?
Yes, it would.
Genius.
He was the insurance detective, because, you know, nothing's more exciting than an insurance detective.
Yeah. Awesome.
We need to make insurance more exciting.
Yeah.
They need to bring that show back.
Yeah, I remember people would ask, well, they'd have to dig up Peppard, wouldn't they?
To get somebody else.
Well, true.
Skeet
they
Ulrich.
Could get, how about Josh Lucas?
Yeah, he would be good
there
as
you
Banachek.
Go. I remember people would ask him a question, and he'd come out with something. There was an old Polish proverb. And it was like, what the hell are you talking about? It was always something that made absolutely no sense whatsoever and just proved that he was full of shit. But the best thing about this show was I was reading on Wikipedia about it, and it said that the whole reason that this show didn't go past a second season, didn't do the third season, is because Peppard quit the show so his wife wouldn't get his earnings as a part of his divorce settlement.
Wow.
So he basically told everyone on the show to blow because he didn't want to make any more money to give to his ex-wife.
He's not giving his ex any of that.
No. Screw you people. I'm out of here.
Wow.
Barney Miller, the complete second season.
Hell yes.
Hal Linden, Abe Vigoda. I can't remember the other people on it.
That Asian fellow.
The Asian fellow. The bespeckled Asian fellow. Next DVD is Blonde Ambition, the straight-to-DVD Jessica Simpson, Luke Wilson film.
What the hell is that?
It's about Jessica Simpson's a small-time Oklahoma beauty who comes to New York to visit her longtime boyfriend.
Oh, so it's a stretch.
And after finding him in the arms of another woman, she decides to lose her cheating man and find herself a new one. So, yeah,
sorry,
there
I
you go.
Sorry, I missed out on that.
We talked about this next DVD a couple episodes ago called Confessions of a Superhero. It's a documentary about the people that play superheroes on the sidewalks of Hollywood Boulevard.
Right, okay.
So I wanted to see this because Kimmel always uses them on his show because they walk out in front of where the El Capitan studio is where he shoots his show. So I kind of was interested in, you know, why these people do what they do and who they are. But maybe that's just me. If you don't have TNT or TBS or any other cable network and you don't get to watch ER as much as you want to, you can pick up the complete eighth season.
Holy crap, that is on every hour of the day, isn't it?
It is. You turn
Law
off
and
any
Order.
I mean, it's like I'll flip through the channels and like I'll go on TNT HD and guess what's on? ER. And it's always on. See, Tom Cruise knows.
Yeah, he knows what you're saying.
He loves the ER.
Next DVD is a film called Fatal Contact. It's a
Contact.
Yeah, it's a Hong Kong flick, directed, written, produced by a guy named Dennis Law, and it's got like the new Hong Kong ass kicker named Wu Jing in it, and it's a really fun underground fighting flick. So if you like Asian ass kicking movies,
I certainly do. I haven't seen one in a long time. But I do.
You should put it on your Netflix queue. It's really fun.
Okay.
Fun flick.
Let's do it.
You know, it's your typical, like, underground fighting ring. Somebody doesn't like somebody. Evil people are involved.
Somebody dies and somebody has to get revenge for
exactly.
The
kid. Exactly.
What is his teacher killed at one point?
Or brother.
Why you kill
my
teacher?
I think it's his friend.
His friend. Okay.
It's more kickboxer-ish.
Nice.
Or was that Bloodsport? Which one was that? It was Kickboxer, where his friend was killed by the guy with the crazy face and the glass on his gloves or whatever.
Bolo kill him?
I thought that was the other one.
You know what? Is there a difference?
You're right, that's Bloodsport. I mean, well, not really, but...
Yeah. Next DVD, we've been seeing this advertised all week, The Game Plan with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow.
So I guess he's a quarterback, and he finds out he has a daughter, and he has a English bulldog that runs around and basically does the pratfalls.
Hilarity ensues.
And if you have a Blu-ray player, you might want to pick it up.
Yeah, you know what? That Rock, he's come a long way since the Scorpion King, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's his role of a lifetime.
The animated one?
Make fun of that.
The animated
that movie, The Game CG. Plan. It was like number one at the box office for like 4 weeks in a row. What the hell? I was like, how is
people like to see shit?
Because it was a kid movie. It was kid friendly.
Was that a pulse rifle?
I think so.
This DVD caught my eye because it has the word midgets in it, and
nice.
I love my midgets. It's
hey, who does
Giants? What?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean that's why I watch Little People, Big World. I love midgets. The roll-offs rock. this DVD is called Giants, Midgets, Heroes, and Villains 2 Wrestling Group. So it's like it's got all like the old wrestlers in it, like Ric Flair, Ted DiBiase, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Nice.
So, and Andre the Giant, Jim. Vince McMahon, you know, classic wrestler stuff.
Was there an old wrestler called the Midget Locksmith? That would have been awesome.
There should have been.
Midget Locksmith.
Midget Mac was his name. I love that guy.
If you watch The Girls Next Door on E, is it on E? Yeah, it's on E. And you want to follow up with the uncensored adventures don't kill yourself just yet. These DVDs are uncensored. It's got Holly, Bridget, and Kendra in all their, you know, nudie, jumpy craziness with One Foot in the Grave, Hugh Hefner.
There's nothing appealing about those women.
No, there isn't. They're so fake and just...
These phony bitches living off this... I mean, I know
and you know
that
what? We don't mean fake and phony as in their personalities. We mean as everything on their body is fake.
Even their
phony.
Personalities. I mean, there's nothing interesting about these people, period.
No. And it's so funny to see Hugh Hefner just shuffle around in his robe and slippers.
How has he not gotten sick of them yet? If he could, I mean,
because he gets a new batch every year. When he gets sick of those boneheads,
but he's had these chicks around for a while.
No, they're different. Believe me, they all look the same.
What's funny is he has one main one, and that's Holly. And then he's got like two other ones that he uses sometimes, and every once in a while he drops another one in. Right. You know, but there's three main ones and one, like, head of the group one.
Check it, Blee. Bro.
I know.
Was on.
It is on.
Yeah, he was on. I'm just saying, these chicks have a TV show that comes on every year.
I know, but you know what? It's
go
on.
Away.
It's on everywhere. It's not just on here. And most people watch it for the nudity. You know, on E, they have to blur it out, but everywhere else, they don't.
There's got to be better places to get nudity, you know? And they always...
Yeah,
they
Skinamax.
Have the, they have the same thing where the...
Hey, it's not midnight everywhere, Steven. They say, sometimes you've got to get it where you
It's like, God, it's so...
I got to wait till Friday to jerk it.
But, I mean, no, I think it's on every night now, Steven.
I'm just saying, it used to be...
Yeah, now there's Action Max,
but
which is pretty much Skinamax at
like
night,
this
every
show,
night.
The whole thing is supposed to be they're real stupid, too, so it shows them saying stupid stuff.
Yeah, they're dumb. It's a reality show, you know?
I can do this, you can do that.
Or you can do it this, or you can do it that. Hawaii Five-0, the third season, if you like your Hawaii action.
I do.
And that show was on forever. God, it was on till like the 80s.
It's like it's a small little island. How could there be that much crime?
Well, you know what?
No,
Magnum PI, there was a lot of crime, too.
Proposal to jack off.
What? next DVD is The Hunting Party. I was interested in The Hunting Party because it's written and directed by Richard Shepard, who did one of my favorites, The Matador, with
great film.
Pierce Brosnan and Greg Kinnear. This one has Richard Gere and Terrence Howard. It's about...
I definitely want to see this.
A journalist and a cameraman who go on search for the number one war criminal in Bosnia. And when they do that, they are mistaken for a CIA hit squad.
Uh-oh.
So they get in lots of trouble.
You know what? I saw the trailer to this like every day for like a couple of months on the Nothing But Trailers, and I really want to see it. I can't wait. Will it come out in any HD format?
I believe it comes out on HD DVD this week also.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it is a Weinstein Company film.
Oh, they
didn't support HD DVD.
They didn't tuck tail and go to Blu-ray yet?
No, not yet, but I'm sure they will. Next DVD is a show I really enjoy anytime I see it, and it's Hustle. It's about a group of con artists in London that always target like crooks, and I like it because it breaks the fourth wall a lot. Like they'll like be talking about somebody, and the whole room will freeze, and they'll just start talking like, you know, no one else can hear them, and then or they'll consult the audience and all. It's kind of crazy.
Where was
but
this made at? I mean, I've never even heard of it.
It's London based, but I think they show it on A&E here in the States.
Hustle. Okay.
Yeah, Hustle. And it's got Robert Vaughn in it, and it's got that Jamie Murray who was in Dexter this season.
Okay.
And it's got some other people you would recognize, but it's a really good show.
Uncomfortable, isn't it?
Another Brit show is The IT Crowd, which is a Brit sitcom, runs about 6 episodes a season. Right. And it follows 3 IT workers in the basement of a London company, and it's kind of goofy and it's funny, and a lot of geeks would probably like it because there's parts where, like, if somebody calls, they have it set up so that it goes to an automatic recording where it's like, have you turned on and off your machine? All these, like, typical questions and answers. But it's really cynical and funny.
Are they making an American version of that?
You know, I think of it kind of like The Office in that it's very short. It's like hour-long episodes, and they only do so many a season.
Wasn't Joel McHale, who's on The Soup, going to be in some NBC sitcom, or was that...
You know what? I think you're right.
Called The IT Crowd or something like that.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right. Another British import.
So let's cut the crap.
Maybe it's that hasn't premiered yet, or maybe it just never...
It hasn't been written.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's get started. Oh, strike, damn. Okay, well, let me just set my pen down. Let's get back to
never
that.
Never mind. We got the title written.
Yeah.
Next DVD is a 4-DVD set, the John Frankenheimer collection. It's got...
John Jingle Frankenheimer?
Yes, John
His
Jingle.
His name is my name, too.
Frankenheimer Schmidt.
I love that guy.
My name, too. It's got The Manchurian Candidate, The Ronin, The Train, and The Young Savages.
You know what I like about John Frankenheimer? That guy, he was a warrior.
That's a warrior. Let me hear that. That's a warrior.
That's a warrior.
That's a warrior.
Yes, it is.
That's an American gladiator.
Yeah.
I don't remember The Train, but I know The Young Savages is that one that
Bloody
the
savage.
Three kids beat up the blind Mexican kid or something.
Oh,
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
That sounds unpleasant.
Wait, are you turning British on us?
You know what, Mr. Cruz? It's not funny.
It's not funny anymore. It's just not funny.
This next DVD is a 2-DVD set. It's The Kingdom, Series 1 and 2. No, not the Peter Berg film, but...
I love that movie.
The Danish, and no, not the Dessert series from Lars von Trier. It's, I think, the Kingdom Hospital that Stephen King did on ABC was based on this series.
Uh-huh.
It's like a crazy phenomenon, a neurosurgical ward kind of thing. I saw the first series. I never saw the second one, but it was really kind of trippy
Rammer
and interesting.
Is the Angel of Death.
Speaking of the Angel of Death, though, I read that there was going to be a third series. Like, Lars von Trier had produced had the producing set up, and all the episodes were written, but they couldn't do it because 5 of the main cast members died within the time span between the second series and the start of the third.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so they ended up sending a couple of the scripts to King to see if they would incorporate them into the Kingdom Hospital series on ABC, which didn't last very long at all. But that's that.
We die.
The Odd Couple, the third season, and this is the one with... Jack Klugman and Tony Randall, not the new Odd Couple that had Ron Glass and Damon Williams in 1982.
Or the two Coreys.
Or the two Coreys.
They played up that with the theme music. Dun,
dun, do you remember that? It was so funny. I just thought of that with the preacher from Serenity. It was the new Odd Couple with the black guys and... was on for like 13 episodes in 82.
The Black Odd Couple.
Oh, man, suckers had to run away like a mother. Oh, shit.
It was all in jive also.
All in jive. I love it.
Check it,
the entire script, they needed to appeal to that disco generation. So they brought on 2 black guys and did the entire episode in jive.
I would totally watch all jive TV show of the Odd Couple.
They also brought in Beaver's mom to translate every once in a while.
Yeah, instead of the little sign language for the...
Next DVD is Saw 4, the unrated director's cut. you love the first three, why not do the fourth one?
Yeah, wow.
You know what sucks, though?
The Saw Quadrilogy.
The tagline on this is, it's a trap. How could they rip that off from Admiral Akbar? That's his line.
It would be cool if it had Admiral Akbar in a little circle on the cover and it said, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
Man, we're just cracking Tom up tonight.
Your lips can't repel flavor of this magnitude. It's a trap.
Admiral Snack Bar.
Admiral Snack Bar cereal. Next DVD is Steven's enjoying it, though. Next DVD is Sex and Breakfast. You know, why not get a film with Macaulay Culkin, Alicia Dushku, Alexis Dezinia, and Kuno Becker?
Where's Eliza Dushku been?
She's doing a bad group sex flicks called Sex and Breakfast.
Turn around and get laid.
God, that's a bad accent.
Leave me alone.
They should get her on Hustle.
Yeah.
So, I guess Sex and Breakfast didn't go over real well with the critics because of the 33 that reviewed it on Metacritic, they gave it a 0. So, it's got like a 0.5% on Metacritic, which is pretty bad.
Yeah, not good, not good.
Speaking of E shows, The Simple Life 5, The Simple Life Goes to Camp. This was the last season for The Simple Life.
Oh, they decided to call it quits, did they?
Yeah, they played camp counselors in this one. But the problem was that, you know, when you do a reality show, it needs to be based in some reality. Well, it turns out this show was completely faked and actors were hired for the parts.
Nice.
Yeah. Damn it. If you're a fan of cable syndication shows, I'm sure you're a fan of Swamp Thing, the series.
Hell yes.
Aired on USA Network.
Hell yeah. Or should I say?
Carrie Wurr played Abigail in it. And Dick Durock was the Swamp Thing.
Yeah, he played the Swamp Thing in all the movies, too. That guy had quite a career going as the Swamp Thing.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, he was smarter than Peter Weller, because Peter Weller dropped out after the second RoboCop.
I'd like to see Dick Durock's resume. Okay, Swamp Thing 1, Swamp Thing 2, Swamp Thing the series. And
you imagine Dick Durock going into an audition? So, Dick, what have you been in? Well, I played the Swamp Thing. Oh, really? That's terrific.
Well, we're
not
doing any special effects in this movie.
Well, I was the Swamp Thing in Swamp Thing 2. Were you? And there's those, you know, 40 or so episodes of Swamp Thing, the series that I did.
I was with Carrie Wurr from Sliders.
You know, how many seasons?
Carrie Wurr, you know, you remember her from Remote Control? She hung out with Colin Quinn on the...
Yeah. She was in the Spider movie, I remember. I can't remember the title, too, with the Cox guy.
The Cox guy?
Courtney Cox's brother?
Oh, the Cox guy.
Eight-legged freaks.
Yeah, eight-legged freaks. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, what was that movie called?
Eight-legged freaks.
Eight-legged freaks. Okay. Wrapping up some DVDs, I have like three more left. Sydney White, you might want to get this for your wife.
Yes, yeah.
This is so exciting.
What is that?
And you can get it in full screen or widescreen.
Nice. I'm going to go for the full screen.
I never saw this next one. But, you know, if it's Criterion, it's got to be either horribly pretentious or actually pretty good. And that's This Sporting Life, about considered one of the finest British films ever made. Maybe Britney would know about it. It's got a... Jeez, that laugh. I knew I should have never ripped that. This movie has Richard Harris playing a boxer. And, you know, he died before we found out that Dumbledore was gay, so I'm sure he wouldn't be very happy about that.
Well, he would have. You know what he would have said is, I had been playing him gay the whole time. You just
He would have. Would have said,
of course he was gay.
You didn't realize I preferred men?
After all, my name is Dick.
Oh, wow, Steven.
Thank you.
I didn't need to alley-oop on that one. Next DVD is Torchwood, the complete first series. This is the spin-off with John Barrowman playing Captain Jack Harkness.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kermit. That's a little late.
Little late on that.
If I didn't specify, Torchwood is a spinoff of Doctor Who.
Torchwood comes on HDNet, Bill.
This show is awful.
It has such bad sets, but it looks like they're having a good time. So what are you going to do?
You know what? Torchwood is just plain bad. They try to be like the adult kind of Doctor Who thing, maybe kind of X-File-y, but it's just bad. And the second season isn't any better, so
I can't wait to check it out.
Last DVD is this thing called When Evil Calls. This intrigued me because it was
there it is!
When Evil Calls! When you answer the phone, that's what you hear, and then you immediately die.
An evil laugh on the phone. Hang on!
So this was supposedly a British television series, but was picked up and shown on mobile phones also.
Huh?
Because I guess it's like there's a whole mobile phone subplot in it where a girl gets a wish via a text message and she wishes to become popular, and then supposedly the evil clown that granted her wish shows up and starts killing everyone in her school. So there you go.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And
that's DVDs for this week. That's January 22nd, 2008.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
You are welcome.
Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Into her house when she wasn't there. Took off all my clothes and tried on her underwear.
What?
If I were Columbo, I'd Peter Falker.
Oh, come on. Not
so I wonder how long it took him to come up with that line.
All right, everybody. That was episode 108 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening, and thank you for downloading our show and subscribing and loving us. Who am I to say you love us? Maybe you just tried it out and you hate it, but thanks for listening anyway. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, check out our site at nimlive.com. There you can find links to Mulberry Old School, all of our old episodes.
Listen to them all.
And the Mulberry Forum. There you could leave messages and stuff and talk about the format war. And call Movie Phone. So, thanks for doing that. good times. I think we're pretty much out of time anyway, aren't we, Bill?
Yeah, we are. I think we've got about a minute.
Yeah. I can listen to a minute of that.
Put that on a loop, will you, Foggy?
It's got to have the Limp Bizkit Mission Impossible.
Ding, 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 ding.
Otherwise, it's not any good.
It's just good. That thing on the video, if you watch it, that Mission Impossible just goes on forever and it never ends. Bam, 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 bam,
ding, ding, ding. We've got about 20 seconds and then we're off the air.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next week, and we'll talk some Cloverfield.
Ooh, time for Ollie Oxenfree and the Limey Newscast.
Yes. Also, we'll tell you if we lost our cookies from the motion sickness.
I'll be sick tomorrow.
You know what? Next week, Shaky Mike. We're doing the whole episode. Shaky Mike.
You mean we don't do that normally?
No, not at all.
We'll be back next week. Shaky mic.
Can you hear my mic shake?
Scary stuff.
My stomach hurts now.
My ears are bleeding.
I'm going to go play Operation Wolf. Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
Wow, that sucks.
Sucks big time.
Now this is podcasting.